Amen. Amen. Open your Bibles this morning with me to Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians chapter 2. We have just concluded last Sunday a 40-day period in our church this fall called Breath Upon Breath. If you're here for the first time or back from the hot summer, escaping the hot summer in Florida, back from the north, we'd like to give you the 40-day book that we just completed, Breath Upon Breath, so make sure you get one before you leave. We're going to be in Colossians chapter 2. Next Sunday, we're going to be starting a new sermon series called What Child Is This? From Matthew chapter 1 and 2. Don't you love Christmas? Love Christmas. We're going to be looking, beginning next Sunday, for 4 weeks, what the Christmas story reveals about who Jesus really is. And then in January, we're going to begin a new series in the book of Exodus. The book of Exodus. I'm looking forward to that. Salvation is of the Lord. Looking forward to that. So let's pray. Father, help us now as we open your word. Minister to us through this power that is found in your written word. Lord, may you fill me with your spirit this morning. May people who hear the word this morning know Christ. Holy Spirit, help us magnify him and glorify him through this text. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul writes to the church here, the Colossians, chapter 2, verse 6, and he says, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith." He says, "Therefore, as you have received Christ." Well, how did you receive him? Because he's about to tell you how you are to live your Christian life. And newsflash, it's no different than how you were saved. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, how did we receive him? By grace through faith. This is what Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus. "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, lest any man should boast." Ephesians 2, 8, 9. We received Jesus as our Savior by the matchless and wonderful grace of God. Grace that has been given to rebels like you and I. Because this is how we are born. This is who we are by nature. Apart from the grace of God, no man, no woman, no child can ever be saved. And grace is God's action on your behalf to do for you what you could not do on your own. This is what God's grace is. It is much more than a chance or an opportunity to have a new life. It is actually the power of God to do for you what you could not. How did we receive him? By grace through faith. This is what Paul is telling now the Colossians. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Those words we could spend months dissecting. So walk in him. How do we walk? This word, when used in the Bible, is not necessarily how you walk or how you strut your stuff. Okay? It can mean lifestyle, behavior. This is what this word means. Behave yourself in him. live in Him. How does that work out? By grace, through faith. See, you just didn't need grace to become saved. You need grace every day of your life. We explored this a year ago in talking about what the reality of grace is. It's grace upon grace. Grace is strength to make it through the day that has turned out very unexpectedly. Have you ever been there? Grace is the empowerment not to fall for sin again. Grace is God's loving favor given to us because of what Jesus has done. So we walk in Him. To walk in Christ is to glory in His finished work. This is so important. You may think you have a lot to brag about. You may think you have accomplished quite a bit. But everything pales in comparison when you compare it to Christ. Where is your identity today? Who are you? This is how this question is answered. How do we walk in Him? Because when we walk in Him, we know who we truly are. We know how to live. We know what to do. We glory in His finished work on our behalf. This is what the gospel is. The gospel is good news. That Christ Jesus died, was buried, and has risen again. This is the good news. The good news that because Jesus died and absorbed the wrath of God on behalf of sinners, you and I can be set free and forgiven. This is what it means to walk in Him. Let me ask you a question. Have you beat yourself up this week over some sin that you have committed? Walk in Him. Glory in His finished work, not your failure. If you rest in your failures, if you rest in your sins, and you let that define you, you will live a defeated life. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. To walk in Christ is to live a life patterned after His. Yes, we must trust and obey. That's a good old song, isn't it? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's what it means to walk in Him. It's to submit your will to His will. Paul tells the Corinthian church that those who are in Christ Jesus should no longer live for yourselves. But Dan, I'm retired. But Dan, I've got my whole life set in front of me. My career is looking great. Walk in Him. When we walk in Christ, when we walk in Him, we learn to love Him supremely, which is the greatest treasure of our lives. This is what the gospel does. The gospel changes our affections from our sin to God. This is why these men's lives have been changed, because the gospel has taken root in their hearts. To change who they are, not just on the outside, but to their core. And if you are in Christ Jesus today, your story is just like theirs. Everybody needs grace. And grace works itself out according to God's sovereign plan for your life. It makes Christ be our supreme treasure. It surrenders our will to Him. It enables us to obey God. And it helps us to glory in His finished work. We need grace every day. This is why Paul says also, walk by the Spirit. As we've just completed learning about over the last 40 days, the Holy Spirit, is He necessary?
Yes.
Good answer. Good answer. You learned something. Yes, He's necessary, because the Holy Spirit is the continued work and presence of Christ on earth. He's God's gift to us to help us walk in Him. My question for you, really simple this morning. Where have you been walking this week? Are you walking in your own shoes? Are you walking in your failures? Are you walking in your accomplishments? This is Paul's charge to the Colossians. Just because you're saved for 50 years, never missed a Sunday school class, doesn't mean you need to stop walking in Him. And then he continues, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. This is a key theme of the whole book of Colossians. These two words appear again and again and again. They're the words, in Him. In Him. Walk in Him. Built up in Him. We are not our own. We belong to God. And God has placed us in Christ Jesus. That's your identity. I am no longer Dan the sinner. I am Dan the sinner, saved by God's grace. In Christ. Forgiven and set free. And renewed and made alive by the Holy Spirit of God. And that's you too, if you are in Christ. Because in Christ, Paul says, we have roots. We have roots that go down. These roots are important. Any root to a tree. You cut off the roots of a tree, the tree is dead, right? You cut off the source of what do you call that in the dirt? The minerals, there you go. You cut off the water supply. You cut off all of that. The tree is unhealthy and dies and rots. Our roots are in Christ. And because they are in Christ, they will never go bad. Amen? We love to root ourselves in so many different things. But for the Christian, the only place to put your roots is in Christ. And built up in Him. Because we have roots that are strong, we can be built up as healthy and established. I've got this ginormous pine tree in the back of my house. It scares me to death. It looks like it's 1,000 feet tall. And I'm thinking, one of these days, that's going to fall down and crush our home. You know, I think about this stuff. We did a lot of work in my backyard. I'm looking at that tree. I'm thinking, man, that thing is going to destroy this house. But I had a few people look at it, and they said, Dan, that tree's not going anywhere. That tree is strong and rooted. And we saw some of the roots because we did some work in the backyard this week. And they're a pain. But anyway. But they're there. That tree has, I don't know how old it is. But it's grown so healthy, so strong, because of the roots that go down and give it the health that it needs. So Paul uses this imagery of a tree with roots and a building that's built up. And he reminds them that their firm foundation is only in Christ. And apparently, which is the case in about every church that Paul wrote, there was some sort of false teaching that was happening. Some sort of problem that they were having to face because of rebellion against the apostles' teaching and against the Word of God and against the Holy Spirit. And there's some heresy that this is why Paul is telling them these things. Some of them are being deceived and duped by false teachers. And he's saying, church, you have to understand who you are. Where you lay your roots matters. If you're wondering why your life has turned out unhealthy, look where your roots have been. Look where your roots are drawing nutrition from. And there's your answer as to why you might have an unhealthy life or unhealthy relationships or sins that are just overpowering you and you feel trapped and cannot get rid of. There's a lot of false teaching happening in these days. Nothing new, right? A lot of false teaching in every age. The only way to be rooted and built up in Christ is to be in the Word of God. That's what I most appreciate about the ministry of Loving Hands. I really do. The amount of attention that they give these men in the Word. They're not just giving them good advice. They're not giving them some motivational speeches. They put them in the Word. This is where real change happens. This is where real power is felt and noticed. In God's Word. So, if you're saying, Dan, I have good roots in Christ, but you never crack your Bible open during the week, there's a problem with your roots. I think some weeding needs to happen in some of our lives. Well, Dan, I'm just too busy. There's some weeding that needs to happen from your life. Some weeds that you need to remove that are corrupting your roots. It's just not enough to show up for an hour and a half on a Sunday morning, sing some songs and hear a sermon. That's an integral part of your spiritual growth. But you need, during the week, to know who you are and to be dependent upon the Word of God and the Spirit of God. This is how we're going to be established in the faith. We're going to be in Him. Spiritual maturity develops upward from the foundation of biblical truth. You cannot escape that. You cannot escape that. And we need to remind ourselves of the gospel. The gospel is not just what you needed to be saved. This is what Paul is saying. As you receive Jesus, so walk in Him. The gospel is much more for your sanctification. That's God making you like Jesus. It's not just for justification. It's for sanctification as well. It's not just for conversion. It's also for growth. Just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Now, this is really timely. Apparently, one of the results of being rooted and built up in Christ is what? Thanksgiving. And I hate to burst your bubble, but this does not involve any turkey. No stuffing, no apple pie. This is not what Paul is talking about. A fundamental feature of our relationship with Christ is the gratitude that we have because of what He has done in us and through us. An unthankful Christian is not one who has his roots in the right place, who is not being well built up in Christ. As our roots grow deeper and our foundation becomes more solid and dependent on the gospel, our success comes from our thankfulness to God because of what the gospel has done. We see everything differently. I mean, how can, the Bible says to be thankful in all things. Have you ever stopped and thought about that for a moment? How can we be thankful in all things? Some things just are not motivated me to be thankful. How about you? But this is not what the Bible says. Charles Spurgeon, as you know, one of my favorite old dead guys, says, the best music of the Christian consists in his thankfulness to God. He says, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, this is very interesting. In the Greek language here, this word philosophy actually has a definite article before it, like it's calling out one specific philosophy. And it's probably the philosophy that he is addressing with whatever false teachers are corrupting them with. This philosophy is just not, just abandon all philosophy. I think Paul is addressing a particular kind of philosophy, and he addresses it by giving it a specific title. An empty deceit. According to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Why do we not see the powerful working and moving of God across our country? Why do we have places where there's no life change happening? Because churches and pastors have become places where motivational speeches are accepted. And how you can have your best life now. There's no power in that. See to it that no one takes you captive. This word captive was commonly used in this first century world of plundering a cargo from a ship. It's to steal. It's to take a hold of. It's to pillage. This is what he uses here. Colossians, people are destroying your mind by taking you and stealing you from who you really are. They're making you place your roots in different places. They're making you building you up with the wrong things, philosophy, empty deceit, human tradition. None of these things matter. None of these things change you. None of these things have the power to tell you who you are in Christ. Everything that's not according to Christ, throw it away. Do not mark your identity or roots there. These things are holding you captive. This is obviously a real threat to this church, and this is why Paul takes the time to address this. What's captivating your mind today? What's stealing you away, pillaging you, taking the cargo from your ship, so to say, from walking in Him? Remember, this is where Paul's all going. As you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. And then he says, so, therefore, do all this stuff. How do we be thankful? We walk in Him. How do we grow? We walk in Him. What takes you captive? Too many of us, really all of us, I should say, have things in our hearts that nobody knows about. That's holding you captive. That's confusing you as to who you really are. Maybe you think you're not as worthy or valuable. Maybe you are just so defeated by your sin, you've given up. Any identity built apart from Christ is only set to destroy. A lot of people deal with legalism. What is legalism? It's trying to impress God. Have you ever been there? Well, God, this is what I'm doing. This is what I've done for you. Legalism tries to impress other people. Moralism. I'm a good person. I'm okay. I'm not that bad. I don't lie like that guy. I don't steal or cheat like that girl. She didn't even bring her Bible to church. I've told more people about Jesus than he has. If they only knew how much I put in the offering plate. All these, and many more, are all based on false identities that we have created apart from Christ. And they're holding us captive. Legalism and moralism celebrate this. Great is my faithfulness. The gospel proclaims, great is his faithfulness. See, that's the difference. Legalism says, do so you can be loved. That's religion in a nutshell, isn't it? Do this or do that so God can love you more. What does Jesus say? What does the gospel proclaim? No, do because you have been loved. Major difference. See, where you root your identity matters. It matters how you walk, how you live, how you behave, where you set your mind to. What is holding you back from walking in Him? What is keeping you captive? What is stealing and pillaging your mind? What haunts you? What wakes you up at night? What makes you toss and turn? Build yourself in Christ, because that's who you are. As a child of God, you have been adopted into the family. You've been given full rights, full privileges, full sonship, full authority in Jesus' name, and full blessings according to all the spiritual realms. This is what Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 1. All spiritual blessings have been given to us because we're heirs in Christ. Oh, how much more we could really do for Christ if we understood who we really are. He says, for, and this is his proof. Why did I just say all of this? Why did I tell you to walk in Him and not be held captive apart from anything from Christ? This is why. For in Him, there's those two words again. For in Him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. Why should we not be held captive by philosophy, deceit, tradition, elemental spirits, drugs, sex, power? Because everything your heart is searching for is found only in Christ. Why? Because He is the fullness of God, bodily. Jesus is not just 33% God, and the Holy Spirit's 33% God, and God the Father's 33% God. In Jesus, He is fully God. And because he's fully God, every quench of your heart, every hunger of your soul can be satisfied in him. This is why there is no point in putting your roots anywhere else but in him. And anything else is a fruitless endeavor. In Jesus, you have all you need. Why would you go anywhere else? This is what Paul is saying. Jesus has all rule, all authority. And you have been filled in him. What a tremendous truth. What's holding you captive today from realizing this? That you don't have to run anywhere else but Christ. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Live according to Christ as your greatest treasure. Because that's who he is. And when you see him for all who he is, that is where your heart finds its greatest satisfaction. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with all its legal demands. Amen.
Amen.
Why should we base our identity, our hope, our lives in Christ? Because God has done for us through him what we could not do for ourselves. He has raised us from the dead, Paul says. He has quickened our hearts. He has made us alive. He has forgiven us of how many of our trespasses? All of our trespasses. This is past, present, future. That means if you sin tomorrow, and I hate to break it to you, you will. If you sin tomorrow, good news, right? Well, hang on. If you sin tomorrow, which you will, in Christ, God has canceled the record of that debt.
Thank you, Jesus.
Past, present, future. We discussed in Sunday school this morning. In Jesus, we are saved from the penalty of sin. We are saved from the power of sin. And one day, and it can't come soon enough, we will be saved from the presence of sin, period. Why? Because it has been canceled. Don't you love that word? It has been erased. Like it never even existed. What sin are you talking about? That stood against us with all its legal demands. This he set aside. How did God do this? By nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. The gospel is the only foundation for your life. There is no other place to go. There is no other place to hide. There's no other place to abide. This is why Jesus says, "Abide in me." Make your home with me. Realize who you are because of what I've done for you. And the power to change comes only from this gospel. And the power to keep on loving God and overcoming sin comes from the same gospel. Because it has been canceled. Yeah, that sin that you're struggling with today has been canceled. That sin does not have power over you that you think it does. Why? Because through Christ Jesus, God nailed it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities, Satan and all the demonic hosts, and he put them to open shame. Your sin nailed to that cross put Satan to shame. And then he rose again from the dead, triumphing over them. And here's these two words. What is it? In him. Why do we need to walk in him? Because of everything Paul just said. There's nowhere else to go. Whatever is holding your heart and mind captive today, may you find the freedom of Christ. May you know that as a child of God, you have been purchased with his blood, that you have been made born again by the Holy Spirit, and you are not who you think you are. I used to hear that a lot growing up. Who do you think you are? Yeah, you should have known me a few years ago. Who do you think you are? That's a good question to ask this morning. Who do you think you are? If you're here today and the Holy Spirit is impressing upon your heart that you're a sinner who has never received Christ and is bound for a Christless eternity, the only answer is to receive him by grace through faith. To understand that you need Christ, that your sins need to be forgiven, and that you could be set free and start anew. If you're here today and you're saying, Dan, who am I? I'm the sin I just committed last week. I'm an addict. I'm a drunk. I'm a pervert. I'm an adulterer. My question is this: who do you think you are? Because in Christ, you are no longer any of those things. And the reason you continue to allow yourself to be defeated is because you think you are what those lies are telling you to believe. So walk in him. Put your faith in him. Be rooted and built and established. Where? In him. Why? Because it's only in him that your sin has been nailed to the cross. Your sin has been placed in open shame. Because Satan has been defeated and there is victory. And here's the thing. A lot of people want to live a victorious Christian life without the victorious Christ. And it cannot be done. If you want the victorious Christian life, it's only in the victorious Christ. Period. This is where we stand. This is where our hope is. It's in him. Let's pray. Father, help us this morning. First, Lord, I want to pray for those who may be here who don't know Christ. Lord, would you draw them by your Spirit? Help them to see their need and to call out in simple faith right now to believe. Lord, we know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Help them see that the Lord Jesus died, was buried, and has risen again. He has absorbed their wrath for the sin that they have committed against you, and that you love them and they could be set free and begin anew today. Holy Spirit, work in the hearts of believers this morning. Some who have walked in these doors defeated, broken, discouraged, depressed, because they are living in their failures, living in the cost of their sin, and they've given up. They don't understand what's the point of going on. Maybe they just think that's who they are. I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you will break this lie to pieces. That you will set many hearts on fire this morning with the glory of your presence, the glory and beauty of the risen Christ, who is our greatest treasure. And may they see that there is no other place to go, no other place to run, no other place to hide but in Him. Help us to understand that the gospel is just not for us to be saved, but the gospel is to enable us to walk in Him. Holy Spirit, preach the gospel to our hearts this morning. Every single one. Preach it to us on Tuesday when we blow it. Preach it to us Friday night when the worries and cares of the week have just overwhelmed us. Preach it to us when we are tempted to place our trust in any other human being, any other philosophy, any other person but you. Set us free this morning, Lord. Set us free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Jimmy's going to close us with a song. The altar is always open. If you feel the Lord is speaking to your heart this morning, you don't know Christ, you want someone to show you this morning how you can be saved, please come. We'd love to help you know this morning who Jesus is. If you're here this morning, you need prayer. You need some prayer. The Lord's really convicting your heart of some things, some sin, some identity issues, Lord, that the Lord is just showing you and revealing. You need freedom. You need power. Come. Let us pray for you. Let us pray for you. Jimmy.